Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Quantum Intellectual Property 2021 full year results call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question during the session, press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, CEO and Managing Director of Quantum, Craig Dower. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Edwin. Just make sure that you can hear me, yes?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. All right. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. As Edwin said, my name is Craig Dower, and I'm the CEO and Managing Director of Quantum Intellectual Property. Thank you for joining us here today for our fiscal year 2021 full year results presentation. I'm joined today by Peter Loosemore, who recently joined us as CFO. Peter has an extensive background in professional services firms and public company CFO roles, and we welcome him to the Quantum team. We also have our outgoing CFO, Martin Cleaver, with us, whose last day with us is tomorrow. Martin and Peter have been working together over the past several weeks to ensure an effective handover, and I want to thank Martin for his 4 years of service to the Quantum Group. Martin has been an outstanding CFO and has helped us grow and mature as a public company. Martin, on behalf of the board, the group executive, and the Quantum team, thank you, and we wish you all the best in your new endeavors, and thank you also for being here to support us today. Moving on to slide 2 and our agenda for today. I'm going to start the session with a summary of business and financial highlights. Peter will then take us through our financial results in detail, and I'll then cover what we see happening in the market, and we'll provide an update on our strategic initiatives. Moving on to slide 5, business highlights. I want to start by thanking all of the Quantum team across all parts of the group for delivering an excellent result in a very turbulent year. Every one of our offices, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Auckland, Singapore, Kuala Lumpur, has been in some form of lockdown over the past year. Some of those, such as Melbourne, KL, and now Sydney, and Melbourne again, have had quite extreme restrictions imposed. Our people have pulled together stronger than ever to deliver an excellent result for our shareholders. While our businesses all operate independently of each other, we have a common culture and set of values across the group that brings us together around teamwork, excellence in client service, and respect for each other. These values have served us well throughout the COVID pandemic. We've been able to grow our filings, our revenue, and our market share during the past year. Our patent filings, in particular, have grown well ahead of the market, reflecting the disciplined and targeted approach we're taking to client engagement and business development, coupled with our continued focus on excellence in client service. It's been a year in which substantial FX headwinds were experienced, and this impacted results, as you will see. Our business continues to be resilient, with strong underlying cash flows, a strong balance sheet, and very solid business performance. I'm pleased to confirm that the board has agreed to pay a final dividend of 0.034, taking the full year dividend to 0.074, which is up 4.2% on last year. In all of these presentations, I reiterate that our people are at the forefront of all that we do. While we've always focused on that, COVID has brought this to a greater point of emphasis. We continue to engage deeply with all of our people and ensure that we're doing all that we can to support them in their careers and their lives, especially during this very turbulent time of lockdowns and restricted movement. Many of our people are working parents, and we have embraced a far more flexible mode of working than was in place prior to COVID. The vast majority of our people are now able to work from anywhere, and we don't expect that to change. I'll touch on that further on. We have made targeted investments in driving organic growth. These include the opening of a DCC US sales office in September last year, with a highly experienced IP leader, Kenneth Ung, joining the firm. Ken is doing a great job of representing DCC to US clients and helping to build new and deeper relationships across the USA, which is a critical market for intellectual property. We have a number of other opportunities in train that we hope to be able to talk about over the next several months. And finally, we've completed a pilot for a new business development methodology in partnership with Korn Ferry, and we're now planning to roll that process out across the group. On our strategic initiatives, we're making great progress, and I'll provide a detailed update about all of that shortly. We're moving to slide six and some summary highlights. As you can see, our total revenue was up 2.3%, even greater on a like-for-like basis. Our EBITDA was down 2.5%, but on a like-for-like basis, using constant currency, was up 13.6%. We are delivering a healthy increase, as I said, in dividends of 4.2% at 7.4 cents for the full year. And this is all underpinned by an increase in group patent filings of 11% and Australian patent filings of 10%. So in summary, this has been a very solid result, and we have momentum building on a number of fronts across the group. Moving to slide seven, this shows a breakdown of results across the three service lines of patents, trademarks, and legal services. As you can see, this is a very strong result for our patents business, which have grown service charges by 3.5%. Our trademark teams have also grown service charges, up 0.7%. This was a mix of a very strong result in Australia, where filings were up 8%, and a decline in Asia, mostly in Malaysia, and mostly related to the impact of COVID. We expect to see growth in the medium term in Malaysia, albeit the COVID restrictions there remain quite challenging. Our legal team had a solid year with a decline in activity in the second half, resulting in a slight downturn in revenues, but DCC Law maintains a very strong case pipeline. As you can see, patents continue to be the engine room of our business, representing 70% of total service charges, followed by trademarks at 17% and legal services at 13%. We continue to believe that this multidisciplinary approach, with a focus on a strong mix of local and international work across a broad spectrum of IP services, is a strength for our business. It creates a degree of diversification across the company, and we will continue to build on that. I'll now hand to Peter, who will take us through the financial results in detail.
Thank you, Craig, and good morning, everyone. Turning to page nine, this shows our statutory and underlying results for the year. In summary, the results show top-line growth in service charges of 2.3% and total revenue up 2.1% to $119.1 million. Net profit after tax grew by 10.6% to $10.4 million. Underlying EBITDA reduced by 2.5% to $27.2 million. On a like-for-like basis, adjusting for the impact of increased exchange rates, EBITDA grew by 13.6% compared to the prior year. Service charge revenue growth of 2.3% was achieved despite significant increase in the average exchange rate compared to prior year. Approximately 50% of our revenue is invoiced in US dollars. On a like-for-like currency basis, service charge revenue increased by 7.3% on prior year. Patent revenue from our DCC and FPA businesses grew by 2.1%, and the first full year of the Cotters business added $1.6 million. Advanced Fidelis saw a small reduction in revenue, a solid result given the difficult trading conditions in Malaysia due to COVID restrictions. Operating expenses grew by 3.5%, primarily due to continued investment in our people, with a $3.5 million increase in staff costs. The increase in staff costs includes investment in our US sales office, the first full years of the Cotters business, and increases in fee earner remuneration. Staff cost increases also include our investment in corporate resources to drive our M&A and transformation programs. Other operating costs fell $1.2 million on prior year. increased expenditure on technology to lift our remote working capabilities was offset by lower travel and marketing costs due to COVID restrictions. Now moving to slide 10. This slide shows our strong operating cash flow with net cash from operating activities of $19.8 million, up 31%. This represents a cash conversion rate of over 100%, highlighting the strong cash flow generation characteristics of the business. The increasing operating cash flow of $4.7 million was impacted by earn-out remuneration included in prior year and a reduction in the elevated effective tax rate seen in FY20 compared to a more normal tax rate in 21. Cash used in investing activities was lower than prior year as the FY20 result included the acquisition of the Cotter's business. The Cotter's first deferred payment of $0.7 million was paid in FY21, while a reduced external outlay on M&A activities was partly due to investment in internal resources. Slide 11 shows our balance sheet, which remains conservatively managed. Receivables increased by $3.5 million to $37.2 million due to a strong finish in billings for the financial year. Receivables write-offs for the year were negligible and debtors' days remain within management expectations. Net debt at year-end was $16.2 million, a decrease of $1.4 million on prior year. Net debt includes drawn funds of $21.9 million, offset by cash of $5.7 million. Gearing stands at 18.1%, down from 19.6% at FY20. As highlighted at our half-year results, new banking facilities were negotiated, increasing the group's funding capacity from $55 to $60 million. New facilities are for a three-year term. The new banking arrangements provide operating capital support through a $20 million working capital facility, which had $7 million undrawn at year-end, and a $5 million overdraft facility, which was not drawn. A US dollar $25.5 million acquisition facility is in place, with US $18.8 million undrawn funding at 30 June 21. This facility provides the business with significant capacity to support inorganic growth opportunities. Finally, slide 12 shows our statutory to underlying profit reconciliation. The $1.9 million remuneration adjustment in prior year represents the completion of the Advanced Fidelis earn-out payment, and no similar payments were made in FY21. The retention payments adjustment relates to payments to vendor principals in FY20, but recognised over 2 years, with the balance booked in the current year. Recent IFRS guidelines on accounting for software as service, or SaaS, have resulted in certain technology implementation costs being expensed as incurred rather than capitalised. These costs form part of the previously announced transformation program. I'll now hand back to Craig to cover market and business overview.
Thank you, Peter. Moving on to slide 13, actually slide 14. This has been a particularly strong result for our patents team, with applications up 11% across the group. This is the highest level of activity that we've had since listing. This is reflected in a strong performance in Australia, where we are growing market share against a flat or low growth market. As you'll be aware, we added the Cotter's team to our business this year, and they contributed in part to the growth in Australian numbers. But we've also grown filings in our core businesses of DCC and FPA. We delivered strong organic growth in Asia, despite COVID restrictions in both Singapore and Malaysia. And PCT applications were also up strongly at 20%. As you can see in the note, patent applications are also a lead indicator for future period patent service charges revenue. Revenue from patent applications constitutes about 15 to 20% of Quantum's annual patent service charges. It is the early stage of lifecycle revenue from prosecution, advisory, litigation and renewal work that can extend for 20 plus years. Moving to slide 15, this slide shows the broader market for patents in Australia. As you can see, patent filings were up around 2.4% across the market. We are seeing some green shoots of innovation in Australia, both in patents and trademarks, which is encouraging in the medium term and plays well for our focus on strong local client relationships. There appears to be an increasing interest in innovation and advanced manufacturing on the back of COVID and what seems to be a renewed emphasis in government in innovation more broadly, which can only be good for the IP sector in the medium to longer term. As you can see on the charts in green, Quantum has grown its market share quite strongly over the past several years, from 13.8% to 15.8%. And as I said, whilst Cotters have made a recent contribution to that, most of this growth in market share is organic and comes through strong execution across the group. Moving on to slide 16, our presence in Asia today is in Singapore and Malaysia. As you can see, we have continued to deliver strong growth in Asia, even during quite strenuous COVID restrictions. Total patent applications in Asia grew by 14%, with a very strong result in Singapore and some challenges in Malaysia, as I've said. We are continuing to look at further growth opportunities in Asia, both organic and also through potential acquisitions, and I'll talk about that shortly. On slide 17, we had a very strong result in Australian trademarks, which is the majority of the group filings. But this has been delivered through both local and international filings, and whilst some industry sectors are down quite substantially, there is substantial growth in others, such as pharmaceutical, biotech, e-commerce, and technology more broadly. This is where the multidisciplinary experience of our team really comes into play. There was a significant decline in trademark activity in Malaysia, which has had various mandatory control orders in place since March last year, and has been the most impacted of all of our offices through COVID. That said, our team there has held up really well, and we're seeing increasing activity in recent months. New Zealand filings also grew, and they represent an increasing part of the group total. Just quickly on slide 18, this simply shows the continued strong market position in trademarks of DCC, being the market leader in Australia. We have the largest and most experienced trademark team in the Australian market, and have maintained solid market share over the past 5 years, where many other firms have declined. On slide 19, as we said earlier, our legal services had a solid year, comparing against two previously very strong years, and has performed consistently well over the past several years. We have a strong pipeline of future work, and DCC Law continues to be one of the preeminent IP law firms in this part of the world. Moving on to slide 21, onto our strategic initiatives. As outlined in previous presentations, we're focused on five areas of strategic investments across the group, all of which are focused on growth and transformation, with people at the core of all that we do. As you can see, these five areas are people, technology, growth and scale, business processes, and clients. I'll provide a short update on each of these areas. So on slide 22, as I said, our people are at the core of everything that we do. Across the group, we have a shared focus on culture and values, and our continued emphasis is on being the place to work for IP professionals. We are investing in the future skills and careers of our people. This is not just about their deep technical skills, in which many of our people are global experts, but also their commercial, technology, and leadership skills. We've made a lot of progress over the past year, including the launch of IQ, our online learning platform, which will support all of our training investments in the years ahead. Having implemented flexible work policies, tools, and support processes for our people, we're now looking to reimagine and modernise our workspaces. This will result in even further improved teamwork and collaboration, as well as more optimal usage of CBD real estate. We believe that we have the best team in the industry, and we want to continue to build upon that by providing the best environment in which people can work and develop their careers. We're constantly updating our policies and support processes to make the Quantum Group of companies the best place to work in the IP industry. We were an entrant for the first time and a finalist in the Australian Financial Review's Best Place to Work. And all of this is reflected in very high retention rates. And you see this turn up in our business results with the growth in market share that we've delivered over the past several years. That said, we take none of this for granted, and we will continue to engage with our people at all levels to identify opportunities for improvement in this constantly changing work environment, and one in which the boundaries between work and home have been substantially blurred. We've continued to refresh and renew our senior leadership team with 32 new principal appointments since listing. We're particularly pleased with the number of women that are coming through our ranks into senior leadership roles, and we have opportunities to continue to grow that. On slide 23 and technology, we've covered this area in detail in previous presentations. We're steadily replacing and upgrading all of our systems with a cloud-first focus. All innovation in technology today is taking place in the cloud, and we are committed to being a part of that ecosystem. In doing so, we're focused on partnering with global leaders in this space, including Microsoft, SAP, Oracle, Fujitsu, and app developers such as CultureAmp as a number of examples. This will help us to build an innovation ecosystem through which we can deliver improved client service, greater support for our people, increased productivity, and reduced cost. We're making steady progress on this program of work. Over the past year, we've built all of the foundations required to facilitate flexible work with upgraded laptops, the implementation of Microsoft 365 and Teams, and all of the necessary policy and HR frameworks to support our people. On our core applications, we have chosen and are in the process of implementing SAP SuccessFactors as our core people platform and NetSuite as our core financials platform. These cloud-based platforms are industry leaders and will serve as foundation blocks for our upgraded IP management and CRM platforms, where we have shortlisted our potential partners and are working through the final selection process. We expect to complete the HR and financials implementations in this fiscal year, with detailed planning and design on our IP platforms also to be completed during that period and then implemented in the following fiscal year. We have an IP process diagnostic underway, which will seek to optimise all that we do across our patent and trademark service lines. And we're also looking at improved practice management systems for our law firm. We have appointed Fujitsu as a Tier 1 global service provider to help us as we expand our international footprint. And finally, we're implementing a hybrid IT model with a mix of internal capabilities where appropriate and external service providers to provide broader and deeper support. On to slide 24, we've shown this before, and it's worth re-emphasizing given the size of the program. As I said, Quantum's focus is on building partnerships with market-leading technology companies that will help drive and support our growth, innovation, and deliver competitive advantage. We've completed the design phase of the program, and we're now getting on with implementation. A few key things to note. Firstly, the financial parameters remain the same, which is $8 million to $10 million over 3 to 4 years. That will produce a $4 million to $6 million per annum stream of recurring benefits by years 3 and 4. Financial benefits will start to flow in fiscal year 23, ramping up to year 25, with a payback within 2 to 3 years. And as Peter said, we've expensed about $2.5 million in FY21. The benefits of these investments will be delivered across a number of areas, including increased productivity for our people through access to better tools and client insights, increased revenue and margins across the business, deeper client collaboration through digital connectivity rather than email as the only source of communication, the ability to quickly integrate acquisitions and drive greater value through common, highly secure platforms. We believe that this investment will deliver us sustainable competitive advantage. and some productivity and workplace benefits are already starting to flow, including having a highly mobile and flexible workforce. On slide 25, on process, one of the key elements of the overall technology program is the opportunity to automate, streamline, and eliminate processes across all parts of the business. Today, like most IT firms, we have a high degree of manual process and spreadsheet reconciliation across the group, much of which will be able to be re-engineered, automated, or eliminated with better systems. We're starting to build an offshore capability in a number of areas and are working with our team in Malaysia to build a shared services capability over the next couple of years. We have implemented an enhanced risk and compliance framework with modern and sophisticated tools to identify, assess, and manage risk across all parts of the business. We've trained many of our leaders in usage of this system, and it's now being rolled out across the group. And finally, we've established a business analytics capability, which will help us drive market, competitor, client, and business insights. On to the next slide, on growth and scale. As I said earlier, we've seen solid growth in our filings and market share in Australia and in Asia over the past year. This has come through a sharper and more targeted business development focus across the group and investing in better tools, systems, and processes. We are continuing to invest in that growth with the US sales desk established in DTC last September, and we have some further greenfield opportunities under development. We're also building momentum in our M&A program. Morgan Sloper joined us as head of M&A and risk in May of last year, and over the past year, we've reviewed and filtered many potential opportunities and are now focused on around a dozen or so that we think could be a good fit for the Quantum Group over time. We are confident that we'll deliver some outcomes here over the next 6 to 12 months, but of course, they are never done until they are done. Moving on to clients, a unifying piece of our culture across all parts of the group is a focus on excellence in client service delivery. This is true within DCC, FPA, Advanced Fidelis, Cotters, and Effervescence. We've continued to evolve our approach to client account planning, identifying further areas and ways in which we can add greater value to our clients. With the travel constraints that have been applied during a global pandemic, we've looked at new ways of driving business development. And as I said before, we're implementing a comprehensive methodology around that in partnership with Korn Ferry. We've completed the pilot of 30 or so people, and we're now rolling that out across the group. We're already seeing benefits of a more structured and targeted approach to client development, and we expect this to build greater momentum over the next couple of years. We continue to focus our efforts around strong local relationships in every one of our businesses and locations, as well as strong international relationships. And as you've seen, we've grown market share in both Australia, New Zealand, and Asia over the past year. So that's the update around our strategic initiatives. We're pleased with the progress that we're making there. Moving on to the final slide, 29, a summary and industry outlook. So just closing out, this has been a strong performance across the group. And again, I want to thank all of our people for their commitment, adaptability, and resilience during a highly disrupted year. The results reflect the strength of all businesses, the quality of expertise, the high degree of professional stability within the team, and an overriding commitment to excellence in client service. We've delivered strong growth in patent applications, and we're building a foundation for strengthening lifecycle revenues in the future. We've strengthened our Asian footprint despite temporary COVID impact for Advanced in Malaysia. And again, I want to acknowledge the great teamwork by our Malaysian team during some quite extreme impacts of COVID in that country. As planned, we have increased spending on people and technology, and this will deliver future value generation across the group. We have momentum in the implementation of all of our strategic initiatives to deliver growth, scale, and value. Our technology and process modernization will streamline systems, create efficiencies, and expand our offerings. On client collaboration, management and servicing initiatives are already in train, and tangible outcomes are already being delivered, with a lot more to come. We're investing in numerous growth initiatives, and our business development methodology, as well as the US DCC sales office, are delivering well today with other initiatives underway, and our M&A plans are building momentum with execution now the key. As Peter said, our cash flow balance sheet characteristics remain solid and provide flexibility for growth. And again, as you can see, we're delivering a dividend for the full year of $0.074. From an industry perspective, we expect to see continued sector resilience, with some continuing near-term COVID volatility and restrictions. And we're also, as I said earlier, seeing some very positive green shoots of innovation emerging across a number of sectors. Thank you all for your time and interest in Quantum, and I'll now hand back to Edwin, our moderator, for any questions.
Thank you, Craig. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, press star one on your telephone. To cancel a request, press the pound or hash key. Your first question comes from Daniel Ireland of Petra Capital. Please ask your question.
Hi, Craig and Peter. I wanted to get a bit more of a feel for the market share gains for FPA and DCC. Are these sustainable going forward, or is this a function of attrition from some of your competitors?
Hi, Daniel. Thanks. Yeah. We don't break up the details between DCC and FPA. But I think if you look at the last 3 or 4 years, we've been steadily increasing market share incrementally by relatively small percentage points each year, but it's a trend that has continued. We think we're taking market share broadly across the market, and it's really coming through increased investments and focus and discipline around business development. So going deeper with our existing clients and picking targeted potential new clients through a very careful process where we think we can deliver very specific value. So we think that it's sustainable. It's modest growth in any given year, but if you add it up over a 3 or 4 year term, as you can see, we've moved a couple of percentage points. So we're confident that we can continue to do that. And as I said, it is broad-based.
And just on the Singapore market, you've had a strong result there, considering the macro environment. What do you attribute that to, and what do you think are the opportunities for that business over the next 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, it's really two things, Daniel. It's building a very strong local practice and strong and deep local relationships. That's a characteristic of everything that we do across all of our businesses. We think it does create value for clients, but it also creates more interesting portfolio of work for our people, where they're involved in doing origination work and original patent drafting. And so we're building very strong local capabilities and momentum in Singapore, but we're also referring more and more work from our Australian clients and international clients into both FPA and DCC in Singapore. So it's really two things. It's strong local emphasis on client development and capability development, and then referrals through the network. And we think it's sustainable. Asia is an important part of our growth plan. Most of the opportunities that we're looking at around M&A are focused on Asia, Southeast Asia, and then into sort of Hong Kong and Greater China. It's if you look at GDP growth and IP filings growth, then Asia more broadly is where much of the growth globally is now taking place.
Okay, thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Daniel.
Once again, to ask a question, press star one on your telephone. Once again, to ask a question, press star one on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time. Craig, please continue.
Okay, thank you very much, Edwin, and thank you everybody for listening today. We have a number of meetings set up over the next week or so, and look forward to continuing that conversation with our investors. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your support and interest in the company.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.